The November 6th general election is 19 days away. Voters in the 86th State Assembly District will choose from among a three-term Republican incumbent, the first vice chair of the Marathon County Democratic Party, and a registered independent who's a retired electrician, now a farmer. This is a special election edition of Route 51. I'm Dean Kallenbach, filling in for Glenn Moberg. The winning candidate in the election of the 86th Assembly District will represent what's mainly a rural geography covering parts of central Marathon and northwestern Wood counties. The district includes the city of Mosinee and a portion of the city of Marshfield, including the Marshfield Health System home campus. Villages in the district include Weston, Cronenwetter, Marathon City, Auburndale, Hewitt, and Brokaw, as well as Rib Mountain and 12 other towns in Marathon County, plus the towns of Marshfield and Auburndale in Wood County. Today on Route 51, we welcome Republican incumbent John Spiros of Marshfield and independent Michael Tauschek of Auburndale. Democrat Nancy Stensel of Rib Mountain had planned to be with us today, but a conflict at her work prevents her from taking part during our studio portion here. I did have a phone conversation with her about her candidacy and the issues earlier this week, and we'll hear that later in the program. Do you feel heard by your legislators? This is your chance to speak directly to the candidates running in the 86th Assembly, State Assembly District. So what issues are important to you, and what connections do you see between local, state, and national politics? Call now at 800-780-9742. Let's quickly introduce the candidates. Representative John Spiros of Marshfield was first elected to the 86th Assembly in 2012. He chairs the Assembly's committees on criminal justice and public safety and transportation. He also serves on international affairs and commerce, labor and mental health committees, and the Joint Legislative Council. He's a veteran of the United States Air Force and vice president of safety and claims management for rail transport of Marshfield. John Spiros, welcome back to Route 51.
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry I had your mic turned down, but you said thank you very much. We'll get that right. Michael Tauschek of Auburndale is an independent who believes partisan politics isn't working because both parties don't work together. Michael Tauschek is a farmer and retired electrician. He counts his time as president of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers with giving him the negotiating skills he believes are necessary in the legislature. If elected, Michael Tauschek, welcome back to Route 51.
Thank you for having me.
Nancy Stensel, as I mentioned, not here today, but I'll give you her background as well. She's from Rib Mountain. She's the Democratic candidate in this race. She's a mental health professional at North Central Healthcare in Wausau. Nancy Stensel was elected chair of the Marathon County Democratic Party in 2016 and continues to serve in that role today. Her community service includes membership in the American Association of University Women, Marathon County Labor Council, and Wisconsin Breast Cancer Coalition. Again, Nancy Stensel unable to join us live today due to a work conflict, but later in the hour we will hear an interview I did with her 2 days ago about her candidacy and the issues. So let's get started. Our first question, starting with John Spiros, why should you continue to represent the 86th Assembly District? Simple question.
It is a simple question. You know, I was elected in 2012. I started serving in 2013. Prior to that, I was on the City Council of Marshfield for 8 years. You know, my experience in business, I think, gives me a leg up from the standpoint of knowing what's going on from the economy, knowing what's going on from a standpoint of hiring and seeing it from what's going on with regard to jobs. So that in itself, I think, gives me that experience, something that I've brought to the Capitol. I know in transportation, if there's questions, even if DOT is the one sitting there asking the questions or being, you know, in front of us, being the ones that are the primary focus, a lot of the members will actually revert to me and ask me the question, you know, from a transportation segment, where do you see things going? Do you think that this is positive? Do you think this is something that can hurt? So I give them the answers, and a lot of times because I know the regulations and the rules, and you know, from that standard. Even on the floor of the Assembly, I've had a number of individuals on both sides come up and ask different questions about things. But, you know, I think I've done a nice job. I'm usually in the top 5 to 10 when it comes down to bills being signed into law. If you recall, this last session prior to this, we had the CPR bill for schools that Senator Petruski and I put forth, a bill that right away has an impact from the standpoint of saving lives. This last session, this session we're in now, are able to push forward this CPR 9/11 bill. And what you wouldn't understand is that I always thought that dispatchers, if you were to call and ask for assistance, they would know what to do from a CPR standpoint. Well, that wasn't typically true. So this bill basically goes into it from a standpoint of educating them so that if somebody were to call with a medical emergency, that can be taken care of. Those are just a few of the things. I think when you look at my bills, too, is I think you'll see all – and I believe it's all of them have been bipartisan, had bipartisan support, and were signed by the governor with that were bipartisan bills. In the assembly, we have about 92% of the bills coming through that are bipartisan. So I think that's very positive. And when you say, you know, when someone would ask, well, can you work with the other side? I think we do a pretty good job, and I think I've done a nice job with regard to that. So we're responsive to the district. Working with them daily. In fact, I had a call into my staff this morning on a call we just received on some school levies and trying to get some answers to them and a little bit on healthcare. So, you know, we're responsive. We want to make sure that we're here for the district. And I'm in district almost all the time if I'm not in Madison. So, you know, I think I've done a nice job. I'd like to continue on, you know, representing the district. And, you know, I think as far as the economy goes, this economy in Wisconsin right now is booming, and I'd like to see it continue to move forward.
We'll speak about the economy again in just a few seconds, but I first wanted to turn to Michael Tauschek and ask you, you're running for this office for the second consecutive time. Why are you running again to be a state representative for the 87th or 86th district?
Running again because in the last 2 years, none of the problems that we faced 2 years ago have been solved. And actually, we have an additional problem with the Foxconn situation. But our roads are not being fixed. Our transportation system is rated either between 44th and 49th in the state. And it was that way 2 years ago, and we need increased funding. And I want to be part of that that group that actually sits down in a nonpartisan way and actually says, hey, we've got a problem. We need to fix it. School funding is another issue I ran 2 years ago. This hasn't been solved, in my opinion. The partisan politics is why I'm running. The two political parties do not want to sit down and solve our problems. They want to the negative ads that are on television and in the other media outlets are just, in my opinion, disgusting. I'm giving the voters that third option, that independent option. I'm not taking any special interest money, and I'm funding my campaign on my own. So I'll be beholden only to the citizens of this district if I do get elected. So that's in a short amount of time. That's why I'm running, to give the voters a third option, a third choice. If you're unhappy with either or what's going on in Madison, take a look at my campaign.
That's Michael Tauschek, the independent, running. All three candidates point to jobs and the economy as a major issue in Wisconsin in the 86th. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development reports Wisconsin's unemployment rate at historic lows, now at 3% statewide, with Marathon and Wood counties at 2.7% and 3.4% respectively. Michael Tauschek, John Spiros indicated the economy's booming and it is going gangbusters. Your opponent is in the party that's been in power during this boom. Why should voters want to change that?
Basically, the unemployment rate is low. The economy is going great, great. Most of the economy. You go out in the rural area, though, I'm going to tell you the farm economy is not booming in any way, shape, or form. We're probably in the worst shape we've been in 20 years and possibly longer. Part of the reason why the unemployment rate is low, it's going to be low because of the demographics. Many employers are looking for employees right now. And part of the reason is the skilled labor shortage that we have, but also 10,000 baby boomers are retiring in the United States every single day. I'm one of that group. I retired 4 years ago. There's not enough young people moving up into the job rank, the job area, to fill these 10,000 jobs. So we are going to have a struggle for many, many years. Employers are going to have this issue. So I respect that the economy is going great, but I disagree with some other issues on Foxconn, and we'll discuss it later.
You bet. John Spiros, businesses in this part of the state are having trouble finding enough qualified workers. City Pages last week reported that Tom Felch of J&D Tube Benders in Weston is planning to add another 50,000 square feet to its manufacturing facility to keep up with customer orders. And they'd like to hire more employees, but the company's already 10 to 15 vacancies that they're having trouble filling. What can the legislature do to help companies like J&D find these workers?
Well, one thing that we've done in the past, and we've done it the last three sessions that I've been in, is the fast-forward grants to assist with our businesses along with the tech schools so that they can get the training. These individuals can get the training to go into those jobs at, the business you just, indicated, as well as a lot of other ones. It's truly working with the tech schools, the co-ops that they have with business, I think has been positive. Going back just from the standpoint of the economy, I mean, 2.8% is a good thing, but you look at it too from the standpoint that we're at the highest employment rates as well. When we talk about this, it's making sure that we have a workforce in Wisconsin, whether it's in the north, whether it's in the central, or whether it's in the south, that's able and capable. And I think part of this has going into the schools and start educating people early enough to show them different opportunities that we have here in central Wisconsin. One of the things that, I know when I was growing up, you knew about being a fireman or a policeman, but as far as what other opportunities were out there, people didn't talk about. So I think that's a good thing. Right now, I know in Marathon County, we go to a number of the manufacturers, and they bring in the students to see the manufacturers, how they work, what goes on here and there, which is a positive. And I think that's one way of making, getting people interested, especially getting our children interested in different opportunities as they get older. So there's no doubt about it that, the economy is good. The job issue is one of those that, I know from the standpoint of even trucking, all of us are looking for more drivers. And we've had to do some unique things from a training standpoint, from more pay. But this is a way, too. This is a worker market. And what I see the other day is if people aren't happy here or there, they can move here or there. What we're trying to do, too, is bringing people from out of state into our state.
There's a caller on the line who actually is talking about sort of the inverse of that, and that is about people leaving the area. Chris, you're on the air. Go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, a couple great topics there. So first thing is that I think the economy is going great. There's definitely some things that the legislature can do to ease up the job shortage. I'm a nurse at Marshfield, and there are a number of openings. And number one, as a nurse of 7 years experience, I make more than my doctorally trained professor. And so the legislature needs to, regulate that, especially in the skilled trade, like, nursing and stuff like that, that when you have a doctorally trained professor, that they should not make less than 90% of what an equally trained and qualified person in the private sector is making. That's number one. Number two, kids, they're leaving our small towns, but I think if they get roots in those communities, like having a job, they'll stay. And I think that something as simple as, retail, you can sell a t-shirt, well, you can sell a pack of cigarettes or a six pack of beer. There shouldn't be, a kid working at the counter has to get somebody else over age 18 to check me out when I go buy some beer or somebody buys some cigarettes. You're still checking an ID. You're still checking the payment method. And, but it's a barrier to work. And we need to eliminate those barriers to work.
That's Chris from Marshfield, and he took advantage of our call-in line, 800-780-9742. You're welcome to do it as well. Let's respond to Chris with first John Spiros. You know, how are we going to keep them down on the farm is the old song. But this district, this 86th district, is a district of small towns and rural areas, and there has been experience in some of those places of folks fleeing, young people fleeing the area. How are we going to keep them here?
You know, I agree, and I would say thanks to Chris for calling in. I mean, he pointed out one issue, and that is the children leaving the small towns. But, you know, it's like when I got out of high school, I went into the Air Force, and I was, you know, that was 6 years. And then I moved and I went to Texas. It was warmer, nicer climate. Then I ended up coming back home. And I think we see that quite a bit here in Wisconsin. What I see is a lot of when you're out of high school or out of college, you want to see what's going on in the United States. We need to make sure that no matter what, we leave that taste in those people's mouth that we have a lot of opportunity here. I think with some of the new businesses that are coming, some of the new opportunities, that's something else that's going to make our students, our children, basically stay in Wisconsin. We talk about health care and pay and things. You know, from a legislative standpoint, we try to stay away from regulating pay, especially in the private sector when it comes down to it. I don't disagree, though, from you know, the medical side, there's a shortage. There's no doubt about it. I mean, here in Wisconsin, psychiatry, we have a large shortage when it comes down to mental health. That's something we have to look at. Even from the health side, there's a shortage. And trying to bring individuals in, when you look at our state, we're in the top four when it comes down to medical. So that's a good thing for Wisconsinites. But the biggest thing is trying to attract people to be here, to stay here. So I think that's a big thing. When I was in high school, I worked at a grocery store, and I actually checked people out. I was 16. Mm-hmm. I don't recall about alcohol or cigarettes or anything else like that. I know this. If you look at the session that we just came through, there was a permitting process for those children. For a child, has to have a permit that's signed by their adults. We changed that this year to basically make it more flexible, and that's something that I think that we can do as we move forward to look at things that are restricting us from a business side, and then working upon those and making it more flexible and making it easier so that businesses can stay afloat and that they can hire workers.
Michael Toshak, I'd like to get your response to Chris. This concept of a worker shortage is really a major talking point for your campaign.
Yes.
How do you propose to improve the situation?
Okay. First, before I get to Chris,
sure.
Well, I want to respond about the shortage of jobs.
Yeah.
In the skilled area, I was a maintenance electrician in the paper mill down in Wisconsin Rapids for 35 years. I worked with a lot of technicians and factory setup individuals that came from Europe. And Europe has a much better system than the United States. They have a pre-apprenticeship program where when a student is 15, 16 years old and they're not going to go to a four-year college, they transition to a pre-apprenticeship. And I believe we should be looking at that in the United States, and especially Wisconsin. And the other one is, I also believe that we need to do a better job of our nonviolent prisoners in our prison system. To most of those, the nonviolent, I want to make it clear, nonviolent, that they get help for their addiction. Usually it's alcohol or drugs. And then do training so that when they get out after they serve their prison sentence, that they actually can go into the workforce and be a productive member of society. Right now what we're doing is we're basically sending them out there. They have a felony on their record, and they have a hard time finding a job, and then they revert back to their bad ways. And thank you for calling in, Chris. The idea that you said about someone under 18 or 21 being able to check out for alcohol, that is actually the first time I've heard that question, and it makes sense. Why I've seen it in grocery stores, people ahead of me or behind, that they have to get someone to come over and check out the alcohol. That makes sense. But basically, your question about people leaving, I believe to keep citizens in Wisconsin quality roads, quality schools, quality infrastructure. I was a landlord down in Wisconsin Rapids. I remember I had a doctor who rented an apartment from me, and went after a, he had a one-year, he was a temporary doctor in the local hospital, and I said, he's going back to South Carolina, and I said, are you going to live there? And he said, no. When my children are school age, I'm bringing them back to Wisconsin mm-hmm. because I want to raise my children in Wisconsin. It's a safe environment, and because of the quality of education. So I think that's what we need, the infrastructure, the quality schools, quality roads, and I think we can start the process of keeping citizens who are from Wisconsin staying in Wisconsin and citizens outside the state of Wisconsin to choose to come to Wisconsin.
You're listening to the 86th State Assembly District candidate debate on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Dean Kallenbeck. The two of the three candidates in November 6th general election join us in the studio today. Independent Michael Talshek, who you just heard from Auburndale, Republican incumbent John Spiros from Marshfield. When we return, we'll discuss the candidates' perspectives on issues about like Foxconn, healthcare, education, and infrastructure. And we'll also hear my recorded interview with the third candidate in this race, Democrat Nancy Stensel of Rib Mountain, who was unable to join the program due to a work conflict. There is room for your questions as well. Join us by calling 800-780-9742, 800-780-9742. This is Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Welcome back to Route 51. Coming up November 6th, listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. All of our stations will have election night coverage beginning at 7 o'clock, and then the polls, of course, close at 8 on the 6th. We'll be featuring all of the major statewide races in Wisconsin and, of course, be watching for that balance in the legislature as well. I'm Dean Kallenbeck in for Glenn Mulberg. The general election, as I mentioned, November 6th, and we're talking live with two of the candidates in Wisconsin's 86th State Assembly seat, Republican incumbent John Spiros of Marshfield and Independent Michael Talshek of Wausau. The third of Auburndale, yep, sorry about that. Don't know where I get that. I knew better than that, too. So Michael Talshek's from Auburndale. Third candidate in the race, Nancy Stensel of the town of Rib Mountain, had planned to be on the show but couldn't get around a work conflict. I did get a chance to talk to Nancy Stensel on the phone earlier this week, and I asked her why she's running for the 86th Assembly District again this third time that she's participating in the election.
Well, I just would like to see Wisconsin be a better place that serves the people of the state instead of the corporate interests.
You've run for this seat before. Why are you expecting a different result this time?
I think people are beginning to see that their infrastructure is crumbling. The roads are not being fixed. I hear from a lot of people when I'm doing doors, healthcare has become an even more huge issue than it has been in the past. People are seeing the rules being rolled back that protect us against, you know, pollution, and we do nothing to strive to become a greener state. And, of course, education is huge, too. We're seeing so many people that are seeing that, you know, the devastation of what's happening with the cuts that have been made to public education across the board.
Healthcare is an issue that you brought up, and it's come up in the campaign. You're a healthcare professional. What perspective does that give you, and what do you think needs to happen in that area?
Well, definitely all across the board for healthcare, we need to accept the federal money. And this could help so many Wisconsinites. And we need to do something with the reimbursement rate as well. And I see it in our field from a standpoint of addiction. Your care will look a lot different if you do not have money. And that's something we need to fix, where, you know, people that have money tend to get better care. They get to go to the nicer treatment centers. And we need to be able to make a state of Wisconsin that works for everybody.
The economy's doing very well right now in general. Unemployment rate very low, record low levels. Is it difficult for you as a person who is representing what is currently the minority party in the legislature? Is it hard for you to make the case that with the economy doing as well as it is with the GOP in charge, that voters should want to go a different direction?
Well, definitely, because, again, we've made these cuts to education, and we need to have skilled labor. And another thing that I do want to see addressed is a gradual increase to the minimum wage. I mean, if you are working 2-3 jobs at minimum wage, what job is the priority? How do you make ends meet? How do you take care of your family? And again, you wouldn't have, you know, most of the time then the insurance is not offered at these types of jobs.
You offered transportation as an issue that was important to you. What's your answer to that situation?
Again, I think we need to make a Wisconsin that works for everybody. We see the brunt of the money going down to the southeast corner of the state, and where this makes, you know, very nice big interchanges and does a lot for truck traffic, which, don't get me wrong, truck traffic to transport our goods is important, but it does very little up here for your local transportation and your potholes. And we're talking, you know, that the average Wisconsinite is spending approximately $600 a year on car repairs due to these potholes, and I can attest to that. I hit one last year, and it costed me $400-some to repair my car. And we need to bring back local control so that our local officials, of course, know what is best for our communities, and we need to be able to, you know, fix our communities. And right now our hands are being very tied.
How would we pay for those road repairs? Are you looking at increased gas tax, wheel tax? What sort of ideas are you?
A number of ways. Actually, we had one governor candidate who ran who had actually taken Governor Walker's budget and reworked it in a sense for the people and put the money where it would have done the most good, into education, into infrastructure, and actually made that same amount of dollars work. I think we just need to shift our priorities, for one. There is always an issue that we are paying on debt. I believe it's like 22 cents on the dollar is going for road debt. And I do believe it is time to raise the gas tax, like approximately a nickel, so that we are able to help pay off that debt service as well as fund our infrastructure. And a nickel is not that much. A nickel is something you're not going to see, of course, immediate results. But as it's building and making those results, it could go to help pay that debt, you know, the debt load back.
Final question. What qualities do you bring to this race that your opponents aren't bringing?
I think I listen to the people. I want to know what the people want, and I want to represent the people. I am not out there to represent big corporate interests.
Nancy Stensel is the Democratic candidate for the 86th Assembly District. Nancy Stensel, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me and accommodating this.
We return now to the two candidates in the 86th who are with us live in studio, Independent Michael Telschek of Auburndale and Republican incumbent John Spiros of Marshfield. As we do, think about what concerns you most about local community and the state as a whole. Help us move beyond the talking points by calling 800-780-9742. We talked about the economy before the break. Let's wrap that topic up. The Foxconn deal continues to be the state's biggest economic development story of the year, and now we have a similar proposed deal for Kimberly-Clark. Governor Walker insists these types of deals won't be his go-to strategy, but that these deals are transformational in creating jobs. The governor's Democratic challenger, State School Superintendent Tony Evers, argues these proposals have hinged too much on politics and not on sound economic principles. Michael Telschek, we'll start with you. What's the state's role in attracting new business and retaining established ones, and how does that relate to the Foxconn and potential Kimberly-Clark deals?
Well, what I stated earlier about the jobs, the technical jobs, the trade jobs, where we start younger in school— that's where I believe the state should be putting the majority of their money to train skilled workers. If we have skilled workers, companies and businesses will come to Wisconsin. Wisconsin has probably one of the best states for work ethic. When I travel on vacation or travel around the country, everybody knows the work ethic of the people of the state of Wisconsin. So that is what? Quality schools for the K-12 system, and then moving to make these students so that they're skilled or they have the skills to move into the 21st century, the jobs that are here. On the Foxconn issue, I'm probably the most vocal opponent on the fiscal side of it. And it's the $3 billion is a ridiculous amount of money, $250,000 per job if they create 12,500 jobs. It comes to $250,000 per job. If we would have offered this incentive package to our own Wisconsin businesses, we would have had thousands of businesses that would have applied to expand their business and hire additional people. This foreign corporation, they will never have any ties to the state of Wisconsin. They're only here for the money. They wouldn't have came here if it wasn't for the money. So that should be a wake-up call in itself. And basically, my last comment is the cost that we are going to be paying out of our state budget in the next 15 years is huge. For the 2019-2020 budget, if Foxconn follows their hiring and their investment, the amount they need, the state of Wisconsin will be writing a check out for $462 million. That $462 million has to come from someplace. There's only three places. You're going to borrow more money, you're going to raise revenue through taxes, or you're going to cut the expenses someplace else. And no one has really been able to tell me where are we going to get the $462 million in the next two-year budget, and then the two-year budget after that, it raises to $591 million. And so that's where I'm saying the state has a duty or a job. The best way is to train and educate our students so that they can move into the job market. Thank you.
Representative Spiros, how do you explain to people in the 86th District, which is a long way from where Foxconn is being built, the benefits that this brings to them?
You know, I've talked to many people, a lot of people at their doors. They have the question, too, is, well, we're just handing over this cachet of money, and that's not true. I mean, basically, Foxconn has to invest $9 billion and create and maintain 13,000 jobs. And there's no money that's gone out. And no money will go out until they reach basically the agreement with the state on what they're going to do. As far as what they've done as well is they invested $100 million into UW, and I see that as being a positive. Here in our area, ginseng is a big issue, and they've been up here because they want to invest in the ginseng area. They've also invested in Milwaukee and Appleton, and they're investing in our area. And there's businesses that actually are participating in Foxconn right now. County Materials was sending all the pipe down. We had Merrill Steel sending the steel down. There's great opportunities and great paying jobs. So for me, this is a manufacturer that is much different than others. And a lot of other states have takes tax abatements. This state doesn't, so we have to do what we can when it comes down to looking at the opportunities for our children and looking for the opportunities for our state. This is going to be a great infrastructure program down there that will not only bring in business, it'll bring in a number of employees, a number of people buying houses, a number of businesses that'll go up outside of this. And a couple of the other things, too, is when we hear about making sure that we're taking care of our workforce, We are doing that from the standpoint of fast-forward grants, which have gone in 6 years ago, and they continue to go from the standpoint of getting those individuals the training that they need for the workforce. So I think that's been a positive. But as far as Foxconn goes, you know, if they don't meet the requirements, then there's no money going to them. And right now what I've seen from them, and I had a chance, an opportunity here with the ginseng industry, they want to do as much as they can from a technology standpoint with ginseng. I see that from where they're going also. It's not just making glass for iPhones. It's doing things from a medical standpoint and branching out. So I see this as a positive for the state. And Kimberly Clark, you know, we've already voted in the assembly. The Senate, we'll see where they come back and they take that up. But, you know, there's a number, I think it's 400 jobs down there that are great paying jobs. And I can tell you right now, if we had businesses that were looking to go elsewhere, we'd be fighting for those as well up in this area.
800-780-9742 is the number for you to get involved in the conversation. 800-780-9742. One who's taken us up on that offer is Richard from Edgar. Richard, welcome to the program. What's your question?
Yes, I'm calling about environmental issues, the positions of the candidates. For example, the mining moratorium bill, which has already been repealed, but what would you know, the other candidates have responded to in that way. You've got some of these are tied to transportation, environmental issues such as air and water. You've got had proposals in the budget to raise the cost of registration for hybrids and electrics. So I'd like to hear them discuss environmental concerns and how they would respond to some of these issues.
Thank you, Richard. We'll go to John Spiros first. There's a lot of natural resources in this district, and something to think about. What's your response to what Richard had to ask about?
You know, I've done everything I can, I know, from my voting record when it comes down to water and air, making sure that we have the cleanest water and we have the best air quality, and we've done that. Our water right now, when it comes down to some of the things that have happened with phosphorus and what the state did a number of years ago to pass different laws from the environment, those laws are still in place. In fact, those businesses that deal with that, whether it's a local government or a paper mill or something like that, have done a great job in keeping that clean and working towards what they need to do from that resource. So that's a big deal. There's no doubt about it. Just even with the wetlands and what we need to do from the wetland issue to maintain our wetlands. And again, it's taking care of our forests, taking care of our woodlands, taking care of our hunting lands, our fishing lands. I hear that from a lot. And those things are important. As far as he brought up the mining moratorium, you know, at the end of this vote, I put together five amendments along with Senator Petrusky. And part of that was to bring it back down to the local control. So the local governments basically have the control over this on what they want to do from a mining standpoint. Do they want to do it or not? It's up to them. They make those decisions. We also brought it in so that it can't be so close to a river and things like that. And then there's a cost. If they come in and they just leave, there's money that are going. It basically has to go in to a fund so that money goes back to that community if there's any problems. That wasn't there before. So, you know, we put a lot of controls and a lot of checks and balances in place for that. So I think that was important.
The Democrat in this race, Nancy Stensel, has indicated that she feels that the iron mining law changes that the legislature made to relax conditions are a harmful thing. And Michael Telschek, I'm wondering where you are on that and other environmental issues like Richard brings up.
Well, part of the problem is it's this big money that goes to our political candidates. This is whether it be the mining moratorium or other issues, it's the big money, the special interests. And that's part of the problem is they're throwing so much money at different politicians. And then the politicians, and a lot of times, vote that the way that where the big money wants them to vote. On environmental issues, the water and air is very important. I believe the moratorium was the right way to go. I believe we, rather than fast-tracking environmental laws like we did down for Foxconn in the southeastern part of the state, was not the right way to go. They should have to follow the same permit processing as anyone else. I also, because I come from a farming community, I would like to see that we scale back and give the DNR a little bit more power on large-scale dairy operations or expansions. Right now we have way more milk in the nationwide than the market says we should have. So I believe that's one step that I would say is let's let the DNR do a much better job on these large-scale dairies that are coming in and make sure that they're not going to pollute the water. Because once the water is polluted, you have a huge problem trying to clean that up.
So, Michael, I guess just from that on huge dairy, are we talking CAFOs? When you say large dairy, what are you talking about? A CAFO, or are we talking about a family farm?
No, not a family farm. That's a huge difference. I'm talking about, I live down in Wisconsin Rapids, and they're going to put somewhere around 5,000 cows down in that area. Mm-hmm. That's on a sand base. The ground is sand-based. In the eastern part of the state, Kewaunee County and a couple other counties, they don't have the soil structure to support these thousands and thousands of cows on a small area. My area is a different area in Auburndale. The soil structure can handle, but I still would like the large dairies to, so we don't have the pollution of the groundwater in that area. So, yes, I would like the DNR to have more power for large-scale dairies in the areas where the groundwater can be contaminated.
So I met with one of the CAFOs who's actually in our district.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the regulations there from the DNR are pretty strict. There's a lot of there's more for them to have to follow than a family farm. And the issue is that the DBA came out and they basically challenged a few things with the DNR. And what's happening is there was another group that came in and basically right now that's in limbo. And these farms that are trying to follow the rules don't know which way to go. So, you know, there's already rules in place. And I don't know about, you know, Taylor County, what you're talking about. I know about our district and, you know, meeting with them and seeing what goes on. And I would say that they're working pretty hard to make sure. The issue is I don't think any of them have a problem with it. It's basically so that they understand what's in front of them from 1 to 10, that here's what we have to do. Here's what you have to do, and don't change the rules every year or every 2 years because, you know, building a holding pond and doing these other things are costly. You know that as well. You're a farmer. So from my standpoint, I don't disagree that there's always has to be some type of regulation in place. And the DNR oversees that, but I think from the DNR side that we need to make sure, though, that they're following the policies and process so that it's fair across the board and it doesn't change so that when they build something, now they've got to build – they got to tear it down and build something else because, you know, as well as I do, there's not that much – there's not that margin in farming. And right now with the milk and everything else, hopefully with the agreements with Mexico and Canada, that'll help from the dairy side and some of the things that we're trying to do at the state is all, you know, as well.
Well, and I can somewhat understand, but I'm saying there's different soil structures in different parts of the state, and we cannot have a one rule for all areas of the state. And again, I brought up Kewaunee County. There's a huge amount of wells that are polluted in that because of the soil structure. Wisconsin, south of Wisconsin Rapids, it's sand. You can put a 5-gallon pail of water and dump it in the sand, and it's gone in 30 seconds or less. You dump a 5-gallon pail up in the soil structure that we have in this area, and it doesn't. So my original comment was one size does not fit all. And so that's where I'm coming from.
Voters in the 86th Assembly District are just 19 days away from electing their next representative. The 86th covers parts of Central Marathon and northeastern Wood Counties, northwestern Wood Counties, sorry. Stay tuned as we continue our conversation with independent Michael Taushek and Republican incumbent John Spiros. This is Route 51. Next week at this time, legislative debates continue with the candidates in the 29th Senate District. I'm Dean Kallenbach. Today on Route 51, we talk with the candidates from the 86th State Assembly District. They face off November 6th in a general election. Republican incumbent John Spiros and independent Michael Taushek join us in the studio today. Democrat Nancy Stensel originally planned to join us, but a late work conflict prevented her from doing so. 800-780-9742 is the number for you to call to share your thoughts with the candidates. We'll continue to take as many callers as we can during the time we have left, 800-780-9742. Let's move to the topic of health care, a huge issue for our state. Nancy Stensel says one way to fix this issue is to accept the federal health care dollars. John Spiro, shouldn't Wisconsin be getting that share of federal money?
You know, that was up to the governor, and that came up, I think it was 4 years ago. And the other states that have accepted that have not fared so well. I think what we did and what the governor did as far as taking care of those who were at certain poverty line so that they would all fall under the Medicaid program was positive. And I think what he did with that was good. I think the other states that have taken the funding, they've been hurt by it and it has not helped. Now, where Congress is and everything in limbo, I think we'd have to relook at that and see where we go forward.
Michael Taushek, your thoughts on the state's role in health care?
We should have accepted the Medicaid money from the federal government. It's not free money, but if other states are taking the money and you don't take it, you're at a disadvantage, and that's where we're at. We should have taken the Medicaid money, but again, the reason I believe we didn't take it, it's the partisan politics that we have. It was put out there by a Democratic president, and a Republican governor will not do anything to compromise, and it would be vice versa if it was a Democratic governor and a Republican president. And I disagree with John. I believe that the other states that have accepted it are happy about it. I've never read any article that says they're not happy with it.
We got a call from Nancy who had to drop off the line, but she was asking about school funding. It continues to be a central focus this campaign season across the board, especially a critical issue in rural areas like the 86th, so much so that each of you have singled it out as a key issue in your campaign. Michael Taushek, you're advocating for the return of the state's two-thirds funding of schools. In the last couple of days, Governor Walker has actually indicated he would be in favor of that as well. Are you encouraged by that sign?
I'm encouraged, but I don't know. With Governor Walker, he's basically taken the no tax increase pledge 8 years ago, and I do not know where he's going to get the money for it. I am encouraged by it, and I believe the state should get back to the two-thirds funding. Also, I believe that we should have a much simplified process or payment schedule. Right now, it's very complicated. If you talk to school administrators, even legislators, because it's so complicated, they can't give you an easy answer. How is our school funding process? How does it work? So those are the two things I would like to work on.
John Spiros, you supported Governor Walker's budget that increases state aid by $636 million, have supported a bill that will increase per pupil sparsity aid amount in low-populated districts. How do you see this playing out in your district, and what further legislation would you introduce or support if you're reelected?
Well, you know, it's funny because when you come down to Madison, I think as a new legislator, the first thing you talk about is the funding formula and to see if it can be changed. And it's a complex formula. What we did with sparsity aids has helped from that standpoint. Putting all the money that we did in education, I'd like to see us continue funding education. The nice thing is we're not borrowing it from anywhere else. We're actually putting it right into education.
Our candidates with us today, and that will have to be the end as we've run out of time for this particular program. But we do thank you for joining us. Republican incumbent John Spiros from Marshfield, good to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
And the independent candidate is Michael Taushek of Auburndale. Michael Taushek, thank you.
And thank you, Dean, and the viewer or the listeners out there. Thank you.
Again, the two of them are on the ballot along with Democrat Nancy Stensel for the election on November 6th. Thanks to Taylor Pomisil for her production of this hour. Thanks also to Jane Ritger for on-air production today. Our executive producer is Rick Ryer. John Altenberg composed the Route 51 theme. My name's Dean Kallenbach, and it was good to be with you here today. Next week, Rick Ryer will be back, and we'll be welcoming the candidates for Wisconsin's 29th Senate District, Republican incumbent Jerry Petrosky and Democrat Richard Poulter. Until then, we're heading out of town. Thanks for joining us.